Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Heard that right, it is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. It's a show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. We just do our best to help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And having heard the well wishes and commentary from listeners out there in podcast land, if that's what you'd call it, I think we're all in full agreement that I probably should have taken another week off. Let the drugs wear off before I tried to go back on the air. But hey, I take chances for you people, and it doesn't always work out. And you know, the thing is, you can't be great all the time, not every time. It just like you can't be happy and positive all the time. So there's a few people I know who act like they're happy and positive all the time. I'm very suspicious of those people. Because you just can't be happy all the time. You can't hit it out of the ballpark every time. And last week was an example of a ground rule double. That's all. And sometimes you have those. But we're back this week, and our intent is to make up for the shortfall of the entertainment value of the show last week. And we're happy. We're happy. I'm not going to go into the commentary. I can just say that, I can just say that I'm prepared to move on. I want to start with the kids. The climate change kids. This is from the Scary Religion file, from the Telegraph in London. Protests by groups such as Extinction Rebellion. All the recent fires down. Have you ever heard of Extinction Rebellion? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. She smells like, you smell like sawdust, is what? Yeah. Which is it's a very attractive smell. Yeah. But you've never heard of Extinction Rebellion, have you? I just assumed that you hadn't. They protest a lot. They're kind of Occupy Wall Street types or Defecate Wall Street, or whatever it was called. That type. And they do protests. And then there's been the fires down in the Amazon and the apocalyptic warnings by teenage activist Greta Thunberg. And that has prompted rising numbers of children to be treated for eco-anxiety. And some psychologists and the like are seeking to have eco-anxiety actually classified as a specific type of anxiety, I guess. I don't think you'd call it a disease. What do you call it in psychology? I don't know what you call it. They don't call anything a disease anymore. You could be the worst type of freak maniac, and they'll never classify anything as a disease or a mental disorder anymore. But they want it designated as a specific type of anxiety, more than likely so that they can write prescriptions and get money from government bureaus and agencies. That's probably why. But this eco-anxiety is an actual problem. And there's even a group called the Climate Psychology Alliance, and they say some children are complaining of eco-anxiety, and they've been given psychiatric drugs for it. So there you go. I kind of nailed that. I had that one figured out before I even got to the third paragraph. That this is so they're having to give they're scaring the children to the point where the children need to be drugged in order to calm them down. And they say that the fear is of environmental doom. And that we're all going to die. Well, I mean, the first part is pretty whacked out, but the second part is rational. We are all going to die. And you know, in the past, a fear like that motivated the pursuit of God, the actual true and living God, or at least religion in general. That's what you would pursue. Now it leads to, I don't know, Xanax. The pursuit of psychoactive drugs, I think. So God has, the pursuit of God has been replaced by the pursuit of Xanax and Paxil, Is Paxil? I don't even know. I don't know all the psychotropic drugs, so don't hold me to account on that. I know that Adderall. No, not Adderall. That's not. I don't know them all. But that anyway, you people know what I'm talking about. Psychotropic drugs that they got the kiddos on, lithium and all that. So the Center for Psychology Alliance, they recommend a four-stage approach to explaining climate change to children without scaring them. First, gradually introduce them to the known facts. Second, ask them how they feel. Third, acknowledge the ultimate outcome is uncertain. And that's where it ends. So that's only three steps. Well, I could suggest a fourth then, since they've stopped at three for who knows why they stopped at three. I have a fourth. Ask God for help. Ask if you're scared of dying or the world ending, both of which that those are not irrational fears. Okay. Now the idea that we have to hand over our lives to socialist maniac child molesting freaks. Now that's irrational. If that's what's supposed to solve the problem, we turn everything over to the socialist maniacs and the communists and the thieves and the liars and the perverts and the creeps like the ones up in Washington, D.C. and in City Hall in Denver, Colorado and Sacramento, California with all the whack jobs out there. Now that's irrational. But the fear of the end of the world is not irrational. And the fear of dying is not irrational. So acknowledge the ultimate outcome is uncertain. The ultimate outcome can be certain if you'll take step four. Ask God to help you figure out why you're so scared. And you might even be able to get off the medication. Maybe, possibly. It could happen for you. But I can't guarantee anything. But this, I've been talking about the fact, I've probably been talking about this for 10 years, that I'm concerned that the current generation of parents and social and religious and cultural leaders are scaring the children to the point that they're going to have psychological problems. And sure enough, we're there. I was actually onto something, as I usually am. So now we've got they had the climate strike this past week. Did you hear about this? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. The climate strike where kids skipped school last Friday by the millions and millions and millions, and they joined a global strike against climate change. Oh, yeah. They struck against it is what they did. Now, a strike is where you decide you're no longer going to participate, but this was different. This was a way to get out of school, which that's good news for the kids that they get out of school. But they went out on the streets, and they were marching through the streets demanding that adults act. Adults need to act to stop environmental disaster. That's according to the Associated Press. The biggest protest ever, apparently, against the threat posed by climate change. We have a quote here from a 15-year-old with too many vowels in his name. I can't pronounce. You're not supposed to have. Anyway, I'll try. Vihan Agarwal, 15 years old. Oh, he was protesting in Delhi. I guess in Delhi it's okay to have all those at. That's fine.
My name is
Agarwal. He said, we believe there is no point in going to school if we are not going to have a future to live in. Unquote. That was Vihan Agarwal in Delhi. One of the many children scared into irrational fear. Anyway, they quote some of the signs because the kiddos were carrying signs. Most of the signs had way too many words on them. You couldn't really. So anyway, the one sign that I saw that stuck out in my mind was a sign carried by couldn't have been more than a 16-year-old girl. It said, save a whale, eat a billionaire. Eat a billionaire, it said. Now, I know she's just trying to be witty, but does she understand that the idea of eating a billionaire would be preceded by killing a billionaire? And here's the thing. I think that a generation of scared children eventually will start lashing out and just killing people. Oh, wait a minute. That's already happening. It's already happening like every day, every week, even in a big way, once every week or two. A big mass murder. But on a daily basis, young, angry, scared, mentally unstable children are killing each other and killing themselves every day. And it can all be traced back. Well, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but it can all be traced back to godlessness, which eventually drives people insane. Some people, not everyone. Some people go to hell perfectly sane, but many lose their minds on the way there. Anyway, I've got another quote from 15-year-old Jonathan Lithgow of Johannesburg, South Africa. "We have to reduce our carbon footprint to pretty much nothing in the next 12 years. That was like Irish, South African, English, all crashing into each other. That was horrible. How do you do South Africa? I think it's just a British accent. "We have to reduce our carbon footprints pretty much to nothing in the next 12 years, or there will be drastic consequences," says Jonathan Lithgow. Isn't there an actor named Jonathan Lithgow? Anyway, he's a real creepy guy. Always played the creepy guy, Jonathan Lithgow. John Lithgow, yeah. All right. Do we have any more children? No more children to hear. But we are reminded by the Associated Press that a landmark UN report is to be unveiled next week, will warn that global warming and pollution are ravaging the Earth. Uh-huh. Yeah, in ways that could unleash misery on a global scale. The report... Buckle your seatbelt. Hold on to your hat. I hope you're sitting down. The report will be released by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. That's right, the IPCC, who we all thought were discredited a decade ago. Were they not discredited in a scandal that was probably bigger and more obvious than any scandal ever revealed ever, because it was actual messages exchanged by the people who were faking the climate data over at the IPCC. So this discredited group, apparently the memories of most people is fairly short. The memories of people are very short, because the IPCC report has motivated all these children, victims of socialism, to march into the streets and skip school and all of that. And they're terrified. So, well, all right. It's not Greta Van Thunberg. I'm sorry, I got confused. I got confused. I apologize. It was Greta Thunberg and her socialist ilk. And she's a tool of the leftists, is what she is. And boy, they sing her praises. They sing her praises, and they just love her. So I had an old friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine, sent me a text, and it was just a few words. He said, "You've been listening to Greta?" Question mark. No, that's what it. "Been listening to Greta?" Question mark. So I texted back, "Van Susteren or Van Fleet?" Anyway, it turns out it was Greta Van Fleet that he's been listening to. And yes, we both acknowledge that, you know, they sound exactly like Led Zeppelin, except the guitar player's better and the drummer's not quite as good. But other than that, and we find them entertaining. So we had some fun at the... But anyway, Greta Thunberg kind of brought that to mind. So forgive me for that what I was doing. So now, should I address the New England Patriots? Should I address the... I thought it might have been possible earlier in the week that the New England Patriots finally found someone too evil even for them to hang out with. But then I remembered, heck, that's not possible. Belichick's still on the team. And nobody's more evil than Bill Belichick. But apparently, Antonio Brown, who I had never heard of before because I haven't been following football for, I don't know, it's been 7 or 8 years since I followed football at all. So I wasn't familiar with this Antonio Brown, but I was not surprised to find out that he was accused of serious crimes involving kidnapping, rape, sexual assault, sexual misconduct, sexual harassment. I was not surprised that he was signed by the New England Patriots, but I was actually shocked that they cut him from the team while keeping Bill Belichick, because, I mean, if you're trying to get away from evil, you should really cut off the head of the snake. That was scary. Talk about being scared. Man, that could even scare Bill Belichick. That was scary stuff. That's right. That's the guitar sensei, whose name I will... Lynch. Lynch. George Lynch, I do believe. All right. Thank you, George. We do appreciate your contributions to the program. That was scary stuff. Speaking of scary, now... I'm about to do a story that I didn't do about a month ago, or it might have been last week, or it could have been 20 minutes ago. No, I don't know. But I didn't do this story because I just wasn't sure if I might sound racist. And I don't like to sound racist because I know sometimes I sound racist, and that's because I was raised in an environment where racism wasn't all that of a big of a deal. And so I got some of it on me, you know, and so sometimes I say insensitive things, not because I hate anyone because of their race, just because I notice race, and sometimes I make racial jokes, and I say things. Anyway, that's just who I am, and if you can't take it, well, you know what? I got plenty of friends. I'll be fine. And I don't hate anyone because of their race. I'm even a race traitor, according to the skinheads, because I married someone outside of my race, if there is such a thing. I mean, I just don't. Anyway, I didn't want to do this story because this American Airlines mechanic was accused of sabotaging a plane, and he claimed that it was so he could get overtime, right? And at the time, I wanted to say, you know, I kind of doubt that. Why? Because his name is Abdul Majid Maruf Ahmed Alani. And I thought, well, I won't do that story because it might sound racist. And maybe he has no ties to terrorism. He just happens to be a guy named Abdul Majid Maruf Ahmed Alani who happens to work on airplanes. And I didn't want to tell people that the fact that Abdul Majid Maruf Ahmed Alani might have worked on an airplane I was on, that makes me nervous. Because I thought maybe people will think I'm racist. Well, it turns out that federal prosecutors are now suggesting that he may indeed have links to Middle East terrorist organizations. That's right. Since his arrest, he was arrested, yes, because you can't tamper with an airplane for any reason, because it scares people. Speaking of being scared, since his arrest, according to the Miami Herald, investigators have learned that Alani lied about taking a trip to Iraq. That's right. And that he told a fellow American Airlines employee that his brother had been kidnapped and was a member of ISIS. His brother was a member of ISIS. That's right. Yeah, they searched his smartphone and they found an ISIS video where a person was being shot in the head. And he sent that video message to someone else in an Arabic messaging app asking Allah to take revenge on non-Muslims. And they also said that Alani sent $700 to someone in Iraq, and he wouldn't tell them why. So it turns out I'm not racist, and I'm not irrational to be nervous about the fact that Abdul Majid Maruf Ahmed Alani is working on my airplane. Now, is it racist, by the way? I think I've already asked this, but I'm just going to ask it again. Is it racist to say that it bothers me that so many people working at the airport are obviously of Middle Eastern descent? It just bothers me, okay? And I'm just going to come right out and say it bothers me. If you think I'm a racist, well, deal with it. It makes me nervous, all right? Meanwhile, from the war file, that was from the war file. This is from the war file. We've got, let's see. Let's see if I can pull these off. Abdarrauf Al-Kahawalde and Issam Abdallah say they were harassed by law enforcement after boarding an American Airlines flight, as a matter of fact. Now, the two men knew each other, right? From their local Muslim community, according to, who is this? Yahoo News. What am I doing downloading news from Yahoo? It's actually not Yahoo News. It's always AP or AFP, because Yahoo doesn't have a news department. But anyways, so the two knew each other from just hanging out as Muslims, meeting at the mosque, you know, maybe going to strip clubs, who knows? They knew each other, right? But they had traveled separately to an event out in Birmingham, Alabama, and they just happened to bump into each other and ended up on the same flight on the way home, even though they had traveled separately and didn't even hang out. So it's one of those coincidental things, right? So they realize that they're both on the same flight, and they wave at each other and possibly mumble something or say something in Arabic to each other across the plane, you know, like five aisles up and on the left, Abdarrauf is waving to Assam, and they may have said something or voiced some words, you know, mouthed some words like, hello, Abdarrauf. Hey, Issam, how you been, man? No, that's Jamaican. There was no Jamaicans involved in this story. I apologize for that. Anyway. Hello, Abdarrauf. Hey, man. Last time I saw you was at the strip club. I can't imagine running into you. I didn't even see you in Birmingham. So anyway, the fact that two Muslim Arab-looking men are waving to each other, six rows up and on the right, that made everyone on the plane scared. Right? Yeah. Why? Because we're all a bunch of evil, rotten, black-hearted racists. No, it's actually because Arabs have blown up planes before and killed lots of people. So people got nervous, and the crew got nervous, and bottom line, after they boarded, the flight was initially delayed, and then it was eventually canceled, and when they got off the plane, the police were waiting for them. Uh-huh. Aklawalade overheard a crew member say it was canceled for security reasons. So the men got off the plane, the cops were waiting, and the men were told that the crew didn't feel comfortable flying with them. And so what do you say about a story like that? I feel sorry for these guys if they're completely innocent of any ill will or anything. Actually, I don't really feel that sorry for them. No, I don't. You know, when your religion is consistently calling for the extermination of a certain group of people and blowing things up and chopping people's heads off, and telling the women that they have to cover themselves with burlap so that no one can see anything but their eyes, or that they're not allowed to drive, or that the women are not allowed to learn to read or go to school. I mean, if there's an awful lot of that going on in your religion, you should take another look at what are you involved in here. And if you don't, then I lose a certain amount of respect for you as a human being, and I lose a certain amount of empathy for you, because it makes me wonder if maybe you're okay with all that. Because I'm not okay with all that. And my Christian religion is not okay with all that. My Christian religion builds hospitals all over the world. My brothers and sisters in Christ are out there every day trying to help people who are sick and in prison and wounded and hurting. That's what the Christian religion is famous for. I mean, outside the Catholics and all the molestation, let's set that aside, okay? That one of the reasons I don't go to the Catholic Church is because there's an awful lot going on there that I just can't, no, I'm not going to roll with that. And so there's an awful lot of stuff in Islam that you should just re-examine, that's all, if you're Islamic. And I doubt I have many Islamic listeners, so I might as well be talking to a wall right now. But in fact, I am. I'm in the boiler room, I'm looking at a wall right now. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, over in Russia, this is from the Desperate Religion File. The Desperate Religion File. Priests in central Russia took to the skies in a small airplane with a plan to save citizens from drunkenness and fornication. Yes, why in an airplane, do you may ask? Well, the airplane carried 70 liters of holy water. So that's like 40 gallons. Let's just round that off, 70 liters. This is from ABC News. This isn't from a British news outlet. Why they say 70 liters? How come the geniuses at ABC don't convert that into gallons so that average American can actually understand the quantity? 70 liters? That's like 40 gallons, I think. Give or take. No, it's not. They do. Later in the article, they say it's 18 gallons. See how confused it is? Why even put it in there? Why not just say 18 gallons? Anyway, it was 18 gallons of holy water. Did I say it was holy water? I got so hung up on the liters, I didn't even make it to the contents. Anyway, so they launched all this holy water up into the sky. And once they got to an altitude of about 800 feet, I'm not even going to quote the meters because that'll just confuse me further. Once they got to an altitude of about 800 feet, the priests held a prayer service and poured the holy water out of the plane onto the town below them. And they said this was an attempt, excuse me, this is an attempt to heal those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. So their solution is to pour holy water out of an airplane at approximately 800 feet. Here's what one of the priests says. He says, any disease is from a virus. Any virus is a demon. It's a demon, yes. Therefore, any disease is primarily a spiritual disease. Unquote. That's the Russian priest from the Desperate Religion file pouring holy water on the city to at least, hey, at least this is a priest who understands that there's a problem with drunkenness and fornication. At least he's trying to do something to help. It may be desperate. It may be somewhat superstitious, but at least his heart's in the right place.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on one more. Well, I'm usually passing by just about 11 o'clock. I never stop. I'm usually passing by just around 11 o'clock. And if you let me cool you one time, you'll be my regular stop. All right, boys. I'm going to put my banana Dixie cups. Oh, flavors and virgin to everlasting man. Stop me when I'm back to five. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Of your ice cream, man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Of your ice cream, man.
It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking around. Thank you, boys. Put those guitars away. It's time to get back to business. All right. You're not comparing holy water to ice cream. Well, I don't know what that was all about. All right, so we move on from the Desperate Religion file into the Bad Religion file. And this is really bad. This is big bad religion. And it's scary, too. Yes, some churches in China, according to the Christian Post, have been forced to replace the Ten Commandments with President Xi Jinping quotes. That's right, Xi Jinping quotes. This is sort of like what's going on in the United Methodist Church, except they're not replacing the Ten Commandments with addresses of local bathhouses and gay bars. This is different. This is political. This is Xi Jinping and the communist Chinese, yes. So basically, listen to this one. So there's a commandment that you don't hear in the United Methodist Church too much. And many mainline evangelical churches. It's you shall have no other gods before me. That's been replaced with. Okay, the thing about the Ten Commandments is they're all very brief. There's relatively few words involved, right? You shall have no other gods before me. Okay, that's been replaced with. The core socialist values and a Chinese culture will help to immerse various religions of China, support religious community in interpreting religious thought, doctrine, and a teaching a way that conform with the needs of the progress of the times. Resolutely guard against the infiltration of Western ideology and consciously resist the influence of extremist thought. Unquote. That replaces "you shall have no other gods before me." Yeah. One Chinese pastor told the organization a bitter winter. That's, talk about, now you know you're depressed when you start a group to do something and you name it bitter winter. This, and that's, the Christians in China are depressed, they are oppressed, they are beaten and imprisoned and murdered, and their property is stolen, their houses are confiscated. So bitter winter says that the communist the Chinese Communist Party is methodically destroying churches that are outside of the state-sanctioned communist indoctrinated churches. He says their first step is to prohibit religious couplets. Then it dismantles crosses, orders the national flag and core socialist values to be placed in the churches. And then surveillance cameras are then installed. And the last step is to replace the Ten Commandments with Xi Jinping speeches. The communist ultimate goal, says Bitter Winter, the Communist Party's ultimate goal is to become God. And they accurately say that this is what the devil has always done. And the only people, or I should say, one of the few organizations more evil than Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots is the Communist, the Chinese Communist Party. They are more evil than the New England Patriots. They're big and bad and scary and evil. And we pray daily here at the McBurney Compound that God will destroy the evil and the wicked and that he'll bless the righteous. And one of the groups we're thinking about, two of the groups we're thinking about when we say that prayer, is the Communist Party in China and the Christian Church in China. And you can guess which side we think both of those are on, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in China as often as daily here at the McBurney Compound. So we'll move from China, where the government is attempting to become God, back to America, where in so many ways the government has taken the place of God, mainly by taking the place of fathers, because fathers are in the place of God, in a sense. God has God established the patriarchy, by the way, for all you feminists and socialists and pale, thin, vegan whiners. God established the patriarchy for a reason. It's because fathers are supposed to take care of their wives and their children. But here in America, listen to this story. Well, first, listen to the headline from, this is from Kaiser Health News. This is probably a really, really lame magazine that's in the waiting room at Kaiser Permanente HMO facilities. That's probably what this is. The headline says, "Starving Seniors, How America Fails to Feed Its Aging." Okay. How America fails. So the headline right there implies that there's some sort of governmental responsibility to feed aging people. So just the headline, I already don't like it. This is written by Laura and Trudy for Kaiser Health News. Army veteran Eugene Milligan is 75 years old. He's in a wheelchair, lost half his leg to diabetes. He's on dialysis for kidney failure, and he struggles to get enough to eat. Uh-huh. So you notice that normally liberals like Laura and Trudy over at Kaiser Health News, they generally despise the military, frankly, as a concept. But when a veteran serves the author's liberal purposes, then they'll pay lip service and they'll tell you what a great guy 75-year-old Eugene Milligan is, how he lost his leg in a kidney failure in a wheelchair. And he struggles to get enough to eat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A recent hospitalization, if I can say that. Is it legal to say hospitalization without stuttering? A recent hospitalization. Did I get it right? A recent hospitalization is what it was, caused the veteran to fall off a charity roll's a charity's rolls for home-delivered Meals on Wheels is what happened. So he had been, he had had a regular subscription to Meals on Wheels, but he went into the hospital and he fell off their rolls. They changed their database, got updated. Now he's having to, he's had to rely on others, not the Meals on Wheels charity. He's had to rely on others, such as his son. So they say that as if I'm wondering, well, why was he involved in Meals on Wheels if he has a son? Why wasn't he relying on the son in the first place? That's my question. Relying, imagine having to rely on your family to bring you food because you're old and sick. How shocking, how horrible. What are we living in, a third world hellhole? How could that, how could it come to this? All right. But then Laura and Trudy from Kaiser Health News, they go on. They say government relief falls short. One of the main federal programs helping seniors is Starve for Money. It's called the Older Americans Act. Did you ever hear of it? It's part of Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. It provides for home-delivered and group meals for anyone. That means anyone. Did I say anyone? That means everyone. Over the age of 60. But funding has lagged far behind senior population growth. Unquote. So I, let me just state unequivocally, I was shocked to know that in America, which calls itself a free market economy, that there is a program, that there is a program that basically guarantees food for anyone over the age of 60. Why is the government guaranteeing food for everyone over 60? It's the people over 60 who have all the money. I mean, the people that occupy Wall Street and defecate San Francisco, the people they hate, they're over 60 because they are the 1%. They're the top 10%. But anyway, Lyndon B. Johnson somehow snuck this in his Great Society that everyone over 60 gets a free meal from the government. That's shocking to me. And it's insulting. And it's destructive of the family. One of the reasons the family has collapsed, the concept of family, the nuclear family, father, mother, children, the reason that has collapsed, one of the reasons, is because of this. So programs like this, basically taking the places of fathers and children. By the way, children take the place of their father. Once their father gets too old to take care of himself and he needs someone to feed him or he's broke or he needs a place to live, that's when the children are supposed to step up. And they take over the patriarchy. They actually take care of dad. And daughters do it too. And sons even take care of their aging mothers in a sane, normal world. But now we've got the government basically doling out old sponge cake and stale donuts to people over 60. All right. Let's go back to Laura and Trudy at Kaiser Health News. They remind us that only a fraction of those facing food insecurity get any meal service under the act. Only a fraction. That's right. The act is set to expire September 30th, which that happens every year. This is all these programs, even though I never heard of this one. Every year, all these programs that these socialist evil people wrote 50, 60 years ago, every year they come up for a revote and all the politicians make themselves feel better by slapping themselves on the back and reminding each other of how much they're helping all these poor people out there as they destroy the families that actually could support these old people who are facing food insecurity. Food insecurity is what drives the economy. People wake up and they're hungry. All right, I'm not going to give this lecture again. But, all right, so Congress is now considering how much money to spend on this program. Free food for grandpa. They say, listen to this. They say, it's really sad. Oh, it's back to Laura and Trudy at Kaiser Health News. It's really, like, sad because a meal is not, like, an expensive thing. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't Laura and Trudy. That was Sally, president and CEO of Metropolitan Interfaith Association. She says a meal is not an expensive thing. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? A meal is not an expensive thing. A meal is an expensive thing. Well, if a meal wasn't an expensive thing, Army veteran Eugene Milligan, 75 years old, would not be suffering from food insecurity. Giving away free food to everyone is a very expensive thing. Okay? That's first, Sally. Second, it's evil. It's evil for you and the government to get in cahoots to hand out free food to people and make families think that they don't have to take care of one another. Because if families don't feel like they have to take care of one another, quite often they won't, and that destroys the family. When your organization, SALE, Metropolitan Interfaith Association, gets in cahoots with the government to steal money by force from people who earned it, to pay for you and your employees' houses, cars, and vacations, and then hand out food and other goodies that destroys families, you are the face of what's wrong with America. And what's shocking to me is most conservatives and most Christians don't even realize that you are the biggest part of the problem. Back. We're almost out of time. So Warren Iran, let me just address this really quickly. Warren Iran, everyone seems to think that if you support attacking Iran, that for whatever reason, that you're some sort of neocon and that you're for endless war in the Middle East, more endless wars. Tucker Carlson. All right, I'm going to leave that. I was going to say something about Tucker, but I'm going to leave that aside. I'm going to do a little bit more research. I'm going to circle back, okay? But as to war with Iran, I believe that there is never a bad time to destroy the Islamic Nazi government of Iran. It's never the wrong time. We could strike them at any time and be completely justified. I hope it would be well planned, well executed, and that as few civilians and American soldiers would die as possible. Okay, let me just get that out there. But I'm not a neocon, okay? You know what the difference between me and a neocon is? I'm someone who actually at one point in my career volunteered to put on a uniform, pick up a rifle, and march into hellfire if necessary for America against whatever enemy the government told me to go fight. So I have every right to stand up and say, yes, I think we would be justified to attack Iran, destroy their government, and build another government and help liberate the people of Iran. I can say that. Neocons should shut up about it. I agree with that, okay? But that doesn't mean that it's wrong to take on Iran. And you don't have to have joined the military and volunteered to fight or been in combat in order to recognize that the destruction of Iran would be a just and moral thing to do for the world. You know what is at the heart of endless wars in the Middle East is, Tucker? It's the existence of Iran. And I don't mean just Tucker. There's a whole bunch just like you. All right, let's move on. In fact, let's move on to the front lines against Iran. Let's move on to, let's get the caissons rolling. It's about time. Because right now, what's happening in America, if we were destroying Iran, the governing officials would be focused on that and maybe not as focused on destroying America, like Governor Gavin Newsom is doing. Gavin Newsom is commuting the sentence of 21 violent offenders, including four men who have convictions. Listen to this, convictions related to homicides. What does that mean? That means they were involved in murders, which means they're murderers. Jacoby Felix, Crystal Jones, Andrew Crater, and Luis Alberto Velez were convicted of separate murders in the 1990s. So did you hear that? It doesn't say it related to homicides. These were convicted of murder. And listen to this, they were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And we all know what that means. That means there's a good chance you'll get out someday. And they're getting out. And Gavin Newsom is letting them out. And he explains the reasons, let's see here, he explains the reasons for commuting their sentences. The governor says he carefully reviewed each application. Youth offender status was an important factor, with 15 of the 21 commutations involving inmates convicted before the age of 26. Youth offender. If you're under 26, Gavin, seriously? 26? Okay, that's a youth? I mean, Gavin, maybe you're not aware that Alexander the Great had conquered half the world by the time he was 26. 26 is hardly a youth, okay? But for Gavin, all right, I got nothing more to say to that other than Gavin Newsom is an evil person who is basically taking the death penalty that these murderers deserved, and he is going to redirect it and inflict it upon the population of California. And that's what he's been doing his whole political career when it comes to justice, or injustice, as he deals it out. Get out of here, Gavin, you creep. Meanwhile, Democrat donor, speaking of creeps and Democrats, Ed Buck is finally in jail. He's a prominent Democrat donor, according to KTLA Radio out in Los Angeles. He was arrested and charged with operating a drug house. A 37-year-old man who suffered an overdose at Buck's West Hollywood apartment managed to escape and call the police before he died. And the police finally, they found bodies in Buck's house before. I mean, we've talked about this, right? Ed Buck, by the way, is best known as an animal rights and LGBTQI, LSMFT, LSD activist out there in California. So he's a homo who likes dogs and hates people. So he injects other homosexuals with drugs and then often rapes them to death, is what Ed does. And after, now there's two bodies wasn't enough, but finally this third guy actually escaped, begged the police to help him. And so now they've arrested Ed Buck, and he's been charged with, he's been charged with something. Does it really matter? And there's a good chance Ed will be out in a little while. Yeah, as a matter of fact, if Ed is convicted, they don't outline the charges, or maybe I didn't care enough to mark them up because it's relatively meaningless. Ed Buck should be executed for what he's done. But the prosecutors say the full scope of his consistent malicious behavior is unknown. And if convicted, Buck faces a maximum sentence of 5 years and 8 months. So they can't even comprehend how evil this guy might have been and all the horrible things he might have done. But the best they can do, if everything falls into place, is 5 years and 8 months just to be creative. All right. Ed Buck should be executed. His trial should be speedy and his death should be painful. Now let's go to reason number 1,210. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, from KPLC-TV, Oakdale, Louisiana. Some Oakdale, Louisiana middle school parents are outraged. Outraged, I said. Now, that means some of them are not, by the way. In fact, it implies the majority are not, because only some are outraged over a survey that the children at the middle school have been given. I'll go into this briefly because it's pretty shocking. Have you ever had any type of sex is one of the questions. And then it goes on to list things that would make a sailor blush. Okay. Have you ever been attracted to the same sex? Do you feel that you are gay, lesbian, or bisexual? So this is for 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds in middle school. They're asking these questions. So some parents are saying these questions are too mature for middle school students. All right. Well, here's the thing. They're too mature for sailors, okay? They're too mature for army generals. Nobody should be asked this kind of stuff at school, for crying out loud. Nobody should be asked any of this kind of, half of the stuff in this question, nobody should ever be allowed to ask, because that would almost be an implication. You might be exposing an innocent child to a group of ideas and concepts that child should not be exposed to ever. Okay, is what you, by asking these questions, you're corrupting the mind of a child, which is one of the most evil, awful, and damnable things a person can do. And so some parents are outraged. One hapless mom says her son was pulled out of class and brought to the school-based health center to take a survey. She says, quote, I don't even allow my son to go to the school-based health center. The fact that he was questioned without letting me know is the most upsetting thing. Turns out her ex-husband, with whom she co-parents. She co-parents. Yeah, that's a new word. I hadn't heard that one before. So now if you're divorced and you don't live together anymore, you're still co-parenting. Of course, yes. Nice way to soften the edge of the fact that you're a divorcee, is what she said. Your ex-husband. All right. But her ex-husband agreed to let their son get a physical down at the school health center, and mom believes that's the loophole the school took advantage of to give her son the survey. The perverts at the school just couldn't wait to find a way to ask this kid these questions. And I'm going to get to the heart of it here. Now, the 7 News here, KPLC-TV, they reached out. They reached out to the Allen Parish School Board to maybe someone would come and do an interview. No. No, the school board sent a statement, and I will excerpt it. School, quote, let's see, these are people from Louisiana now. School-based health centers, they provide comprehensive medical and behavioral health services, which include risk screenings in accordance and guidance for well child visits. The screening tool was offered as a reliable screening method by the state of Louisiana. By the school board, by the way, our fine, upstanding Oakdale School-Based Health Center receives grant funding from the Department of Health, and in return for all of that funding, certain medical and behavioral health services must be provided. Unquote. Did y'all get that? Did you catch what's going on here? It's the Department of Health and other governmental organizations are basically coercing the school department through money, financial payments, to homosexualize the children. That's what's going on. The state and the corrupt perverts in the state of Louisiana are working hand in hand and exchanging money with other corrupt perverts in the schools to collect data. Yeah? No, what they're doing is exposing children to ideas and concepts that people should not be exposed to ever. And I understand that I live in the real world. I know that all of us will be exposed to this at some point. Okay? I'm not Pollyanna about that. I understand that you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a homo with a ring in his nose and a grommet in his ear and a tattoo on his neck. I understand that. I'm just saying that in a sane, normal world, there are certain concepts that people should never be exposed to ever. And the questions on this survey are a bunch of them. Stuff that I really wish my children would never have to learn. Things that I wish I had never had to learn about or think about or have invade my mind and my thought life. They're purposely injecting it into the minds of these children. And I'm telling you that God is extremely angry with them. He hates them. And he is going to come down on them and grind them into powder. And they will suffer damnation and torment for all of eternity. And they deserve it. All right, that's reason number 1,210 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. All right, now, have you heard of Megan Fox? He asked, is extremely attractive.
Yeah,
sawdust laden. We're building a second goat house. It's going to be a condominium development out there before long. But have you heard of Megan Fox?
Yeah.
You have?
Megan Fox.
Okay.
Oh, no. Megan.
You're thinking of Megan from Fox News.
No, I was thinking the...
Megan Kelly?
No, the princess.
Oh, Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
No, this is not Meghan Markle. This is Megan Fox.
I don't know.
I never heard of her. And the reason I never heard of her, because she's only in these movies like cartoon movies, like the Transformers.
Oh.
I mean, how adults watch that? But anyway, that's all aside. If you like the Transformers, God bless you. I got no problem with it. Well, I personally don't imbibe. But Megan Fox... her eldest son is named Noah. Uh-huh, Noah, I said.
Okay.
And Noah likes to wear dresses from time to time. Uh-huh.
What kind of dress?
No, dresses, like girls' dresses. And Megan, who shares 3 boys with her actor husband, Brian Austin Green. Isn't that the geek from 90210?
I don't know.
I have no idea. All right.
They're co-parenting?
No, no. They actually live together, but Yahoo News, they say they share three boys. I don't know. I don't know what that means. It's creepy though. I don't even want to get into that. So she says that she sends Noah to a really liberal hippie school in California, but she still has little boys. When her son shows up in his dress sometimes at the liberal hippie school, she says some little boys still say boys don't wear dresses. Meaning there are still some sane children in the hippie school out there that she sends her kid to. But she says, I'm trying to teach him to be confident no matter what anyone else says. Be confident, even if you're wearing a dress. He just wore a dress 2 days ago to school. And he came home and I was like, how was it? Did anyone have anything to say? And he was like, well, all the boys laughed when I came in. Like, he's like, but he's like, I don't care. I love dresses too much. Be confident, she said. All right, now, let's replace dresses with Marlboro Reds. Okay, here we go. He just took his Marlboros to school 2 days ago. And he came home, and I was like, how was it? Did anyone have anything to say? And he said, some boys said that Marlboros are bad. But I just laughed. That doesn't work, does it? You can't replace dresses with Marlboro Reds. No. Mm-hmm. If he came home with a pack of Camels in his pocket, how do you think she'd respond? Anyway, all right. Let's see. And how does Dad feel, by the way? Actually, shocking that a news outlet is going to actually talk about how Dad feels. But that's only because Dad is a little to the left of Mom. Dad says, well, I've heard from some people that they don't agree with my son wearing dresses. To them, I say, I don't care. If he wants to smoke Marlboro Reds, he'll can smoke them whenever he wants. I mean, if he wants to wear a dress, he can wear it whenever he wants. He reminds the interviewer at wherever this is from. He says, I grew up in a Pentecostal household, Southern Christian. The women in the church aren't allowed to wear pants, and you can only wear dresses, and you can't wear makeup or jewelry. So it's really sort of an oppressive environment to grow up in, says Austin Michael Jeffrey Allen Biff Green. What's Brian Austin Green? But he says, I sort of lean left of that now. Noah wears dresses, so there are no rules. You can smoke whatever you want in my house. I'm sorry. He says, you can be whatever you want in my house. And that means Camels, Marlboro Reds, Marlboro Lights, Lucky Strikes, right? You can smoke whatever you want. As long as you put the cigarettes out in the ashtray, kid. All right. Now, finally, let's see here. Finally, we go briefly to the science really file. Researchers, a study's been published, ladies and gentlemen, in the journal Science. Scientists and conservationists have analyzed 5 decades of population data on 529 species of North American birds. And they say that since 1970, the continental U.S. and Canada have lost more than 1 in 4 birds. The bird population has fallen by almost 3 billion. From just over 10 billion to a little over 7 billion in the last 50 years. He says, we're making the wrong moves now. One of the researchers says, we're making the wrong moves now to sustain nature for the future. Nature is unraveling. The ecosystems are highly stressed. That's Mike Parr, president of the American Bird Conservancy, co-author. He says, our generation is going to survive it, and probably the next, but nobody knows where the tipping point will be. Oh, no. He blames the free market for killing all the birds. Climate change is playing only a small role now, but likely become much bigger. So he's terrified. He wants you to be terrified. And he's seeking a grant for his next project, How to Terrify People. So has America lost 1 billion birds or 3 billion birds? I think it's possible. I do. And is human activity possibly a factor in the decline in the bird population or the honeybee population? Absolutely. It could definitely be. And that's not the question. I'm open-minded enough to think that, hey, the stuff we do could harm the environment. I know that. But is turning everything I own over to a bunch of socialist maniac homosexual, baby-killing, godless atheist freaks? Is that going to be the solution? That's where you lose me, okay? I'm just not that scared. I'm not that scared yet, okay? And I will never be that scared, but I think they've got a whole generation that is scared enough. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, and that's why we'll be back. We'll be back. We'll always be back. All right, so, in fact, we'll be back next week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at AmericanRightToLife.com, at RealScienceRadio.com, and, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we shall return. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.